Hi, this is Mimi Sheraton, author of 1,000 Foods to Eat Before You Die, and you are listening to Radio Cherry Bomb.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb. I'm Carrie Diamond, editorial director of Cherry Bomb, the indie magazine about women and food. I hope everybody's had a great week. I just got back from a trip to Boston and kind of ate my way around the city. I had lunch at Barbara Lynch's restaurant Sportello with Jenny Farah, who's the founder of Sprouts.io. We had this insane gnocchi dish, and I will always order gnocchi if given the choice. I think that's a good rule to live by. Jenny's company, Sprouts.io, has created this device. It's a cross between a lamp and a plant pot that allows you to grow your own salad, greens, herbs, you name it. And it looks very Jetsons era. Jenny's really brilliant, and she'll hopefully be on a future episode of Radio Cherry Bomb, maybe later this summer, to tell us more about what she's up to. I also met the ladies who work at Christopher Kimball's Milk Street, and they are an awesome bunch. I had a fun lunch at Myers and Chang, the Pan-Asian restaurant from Joanne Chang. And I've never met Karen, the chef. I'm not quite sure how to pronounce her last name. I think it's a Kunowitz. Do you guys know her? No. But anyway, it was really fun. I also met this young woman named Jacqueline Dole, who has launched an ice cream company called The Parlor. She doesn't have a physical location yet, so she's doing pop-ups around the city. You can check out her website, parlorboston.co, for dates and information. And anyway, she brought me samples of her ice cream, which was really nice of her, and it's terrific. She had one flavor that's blue. You can see it on her Instagram. And it's made with butterfly pea flowers, something I've never heard of before, but apparently it turns things blue naturally, which is great. My favorite flavor, though, was an orange blossom raspberry frozen yogurt. It was very tasty and very tangy. I had a second ice cream experience at a vegan place called FOMU, not FOMO, but FOMU. And it stands for FAUXMOO. Get it? FAUXMOO. The ice creams are made from coconut milk, and they're really delicious. I would probably say the mint chip and the raspberry crumble were my favorites. Then lastly, I have to mention Sofra, the Middle Eastern-inspired cafe and takeout spot. I think it's in Cambridge, from Chef Anna Sorton and pastry chef Maura Kilpatrick. Every neighborhood should be lucky enough to have a Sofra. It's a really warm, magical spot with insane food like shakshuka and a walnut baklava bowl and the best... Did I say that right? I'm looking at the chef. You haven't met the chef who we're talking to yet, but I keep looking at her like she knows,
yes.
Like she vetted this, you know, before I started talking about it. Baklava, right? That's
yes.
How you say it. Yeah. Walnut baklava bowl. And honestly, the best cookies you could ever hope to eat. So needless to say, if you're looking for a fun food destination and you're not Dave, our engineer, head to Boston.
We'll edit that part out.
I know this sounds like an ad for the Boston Visitors Bureau, but it's not. I was just really happy to be there, and especially happy that the women in food scene is so vibrant in Boston. So thumbs up to the Boston Bomb Squad out there. Next, we have to thank our sponsors, our wonderful sponsors, for keeping us on the air. Everyone knows Kerrygold butter is the bomb, but did you know that Kerrygold also has a beautiful range of Irish cheese? They're not only delicious, but they're made with milk from grass-fed cows, so it's a product you can believe in. I've been working my way through the different varieties, as I've mentioned. I've tried the cheddar and the Swiss, and now I've got some Blarney Castle cheese in my fridge to try next. I have no idea what Blarney Castle cheese tastes like, but I can report back next week. And also Le Cordon Bleu, the legendary culinary school with locations around the globe from Paris to London to Ottawa. The schools have a wide array of programs available from 9-month classical culinary training programs all the way to bachelor and master's degrees. Or how about one of their 3-hour master classes on everything from baking the most delicious macaroons to making that perfect sauce. Visit cordonbleu.edu for more. Our first guest today is Chef Kate Williams, who is opening a new restaurant in Detroit this summer called Lady of the House. Great name, Kate.
Thank you.
Thumbs up. Chef Kate also leads a cooking program she founded for an organization called Alternatives for Girls. And she was here in Williamsburg right under our noses doing some pop-up dinners with a group called Traffic Tide. I'm sorry we missed those, Kate. She is here to tell us about all of this and more. Chef Kate Williams, welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb.
Thank you so much, Carrie. I'm excited to be here.
Me too. I think you might be our first guest from Detroit.
Oh, yay!
Which is kind of embarrassing because Detroit's been having a great moment food-wise for years now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm going to wear that badge of honor proudly.
Which means we're going to make you talk all about Detroit in addition to your restaurant.
Great.
Are you a Detroit native?
I am. I grew up in the suburbs. I left for, I don't know, maybe 7 to 10 years. And then I came back about 6 years ago and was like, holy shit, this is really awesome.
What lured you back?
There was actually a death in the family, and I was like, okay, I'll recharge and save up money and come back to New York because I love New York City. And I was like just really shocked at the arts, the culture, music, food, things that were happening were really cool. And that's still going on, but it's very different. It's rapidly changing. So even 6 years ago, 5 years ago when I moved back, it's like almost unrecognizable.
So when was the chef seed planted in your brain?
Oh my God. I just realized this like last year. Someone's like, why did you become a chef? You know? And I was like, oh, and I actually, it's so funny. This was at this Twitter dinner and I started tearing up. I was like, this is embarrassing. but it had some, I'm Irish Catholic. And so I grew up with, tons of first cousins. My parents are from 9 and 7 kids.
I thought you were going to say, I grew up with terrible food.
Terrible food. Well, I mean, I don't say it's terrible, but it was, I mean.
We were lucky we had food.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because my parents are, you know, from immigrants, factory workers. And so it was like, whatever fed the masses was what was eating. But there was something about like, sort of the lifeblood of the family happened at that dinner table, no matter what it was. And that's what I wanted to recreate, was like being the ultimate hostess and, just recreating that like dinner party experience.
So did you have various food jobs when you were a kid?
Yeah. So I started as a hostess at Guernsey Farms Dairy, which is this little cafe. They make ice cream, heavy cream, kind of everything sourced from around the state. That was my first job. And then I never really looked back, never been in an office or anything. So
lucky you.
Yeah.
So did you wait tables?
I was a hostess. And then after
that,
I scooped ice cream. No canals then, but, and then from there, I got the bug in high school. God, it was a cooking class with my best friend, Noelle. And I then from there decided, well, I was a little nervous about just restaurants for the rest of my life. So I went to Michigan State for food science. And I don't know if you know, but their agricultural program is like badass. I mean, they have like they're humanely raising animals and like doing humane slaughter all the way to, you know, manufacturing sausage and bologna and like cool things.
So. Oh, wow. I had no idea. And then did you go to culinary school?
Michigan State was great, but it's a science degree. So I dropped out and came to New York. And I went to the French Culinary Institute, which is now International Culinary Center, which was great.
And what was your first big kitchen job?
In high school and college, I worked in a cafe near my house in Northville. Which was, it was all scratch cooking. I started as their assistant pastry chef and just loved it. I'm a savory chef now, but.
So you finished culinary school. What are you thinking? Like, what's your goal? What do you want to do?
Isn't that funny? I don't know if I knew I knew I wanted a restaurant. I wanted my own restaurant. I wanted to create this space and, you know, make food. Like, I think the best food you make is when you're inspired by it. And I didn't know where that was, but I moved to Chicago. The Chicago food scene was killer. It's still killer, but, and so I wanted to see what was going on there. And, you know, I'm a Midwest girl, so, it was close to family.
So any places you worked that you want to shout out, or I know you said you worked at a bunch of different places.
In New York, anywhere that would take me. I was like, I'm free work. Let me just like see what you guys are doing. And then in Chicago, I started at Wolfgang Puck's place that was there and then ended up being the sous chef. And that was incredible.
What did you learn there?
You know, his food is it's so fresh. It's so different than sort of like this meat and potatoes that you usually see. So that was wonderful. I mean, I did some pastry there. I love the seafood. I love his approach to seafood and he's very cool to work with.
So you make your way back to Detroit. Do you feel that you had a signature that you were developing along the way? You know, because every chef sort of has their thing.
Yeah, you know, I definitely am more rustic in my food, but I went and cooked in Copenhagen and really felt like I was like, oh, this is the food I do. It's like, it's, you know, I would say it, trying to make something taste more like itself, but like very well balanced and thoughtful. And I was at Relay, which is like, I think the most sustainable restaurant in the world or something like that. So it was really just like thoughtful from start to finish.
How was the whole Copenhagen experience?
It was awesome. It's so, you're like, everyone is so happy here and they're gorgeous. Like, there's like no stress. Everything is paid for. And yeah, it was really cool. And the bikes and...
Did you think about not leaving?
Yeah, absolutely. I had like, oh, well, I'll like do this. I was building this restaurant where I was just the chef, not an owner. I was like, oh, if these things and blah, blah, blah. And then if it's not like this, then I won't come back. And of course it was, so...
All right, so fast forward to Detroit. So you worked at a place called Republic?
Yeah, so I was the opening chef of Republic Tavern, which is downtown.
And what kind of food were you cooking there?
So it's in a castle.
For real?
Yeah. And so, I mean, I've always, you know, been a butcher. So there was definitely, it was very meat-centric. But it was also like, wow, shouldn't this feel like food from the pasture, you know? But definitely more meat-centric than... what Lady of the House will be.
So food in a castle. So it wasn't like, what's that funny, funny food thing?
Oh, don't say it. Medieval times. No, not like that. Have you ever been to that? Is it just a Chicago thing?
I have not been to Medieval Times.
Oh, it's, yeah. It's
have you?
Fun. Yeah. I mean, I think when I was like, you know, 18, but it's hilarious.
I missed that experience. So you slipped in there that you've always been a butcher.
Yeah, well, starting from Michigan State and even from my, you know, my first cooking job was like breaking down, whether it be poultry, meat, et cetera. Yeah, so we're doing that. Actually, we just started, we got in 4 hogs last week before I jumped on the plane to New York to start our charcuterie.
So Lady of the House, let's talk about that. What is your vision for your restaurant?
So... you know, when I was at the last restaurant, I was sort of like, okay, well, what do I want to do this for? What's like, why did I get into cooking? And it was, I wanted to be way more connected to the source of the food and the guest. So it's small. It's like 60 seats, including bar. And we actually have a big bar. And it's like my dining. It's supposed to be like my dining room. So... you know, internally we talk about like, we're throwing the greatest dinner party every night. Like that's what we need to, every time you like interact with someone, that's what we're doing. so yeah, it's very, you know, one of the things I loved about coming back to Detroit was the urban farms, it are so huge, and it's not just growing, you know, for specific restaurants. It's oftentimes growing to help make the neighborhood safe that it's in, you know, because there's a bunch of vacant lots and stuff. And so these farmers are kind of the real star of everything. They're just like, hey, what do you want? You know, what do you want us to grow now?
That's so much fun for you as a chef to be able to work with the farmers.
Yeah. So that's definitely, that's definitely what the menu is. So it's like, what's your style? It's like, well, Michelle will come to me and say, I have all of these. What can you do with them? So
Michelle, she's your...
So she's one of our farmers. Mm-hmm. She's a badass. She actually she's with Recovery Park Farms, and we've done a lot together over the years, but she trains former inmates and recovering addicts how to farm. And so she only sells to chefs because she wants to make sure she can pay them a living wage. But what happens with that is they're not professional farmers, so doing that training process, there's a lot of sort of ugly food and seconds, and that's where she and I have kind of just like rocked out.
The whole ugly fruit and vegetable trend.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. I mean, it's once you start to hear the numbers about how much gets thrown away in this country just because it's unattractive, you know, for sale.
Yeah.
It's really insane.
Yeah. And it's like, well, somebody grew that with their hands. And also, it still tastes delicious, mm-hmm. I promise.
I forgot to mention another group I met in Boston called Love and Spoonfuls. And it's a food rescue group. And they go around to sort of wholesalers and supermarkets and essentially rescue the produce and things that are close to expiring that would otherwise just be gotten rid of.
Yeah.
And it's incredible now that people are doing that. And you just wonder why it took so long, you know, for us to realize that, hey, that's still edible.
Yeah, exactly.
Just and, not pretty.
Yeah. And also someone who's paid to grow it and paid to, you know, do that, ship it, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do you still have a lot of family in Detroit? in the area?
Yeah, almost all of all three of my brothers are still there. My parents are, and then extended family is a little bit here and there. But
where are you in the lineup?
I'm the second oldest.
You're the second oldest.
Yeah.
Okay. My second oldest. The second oldest in my. I'm one of five. The second oldest is a very nice human being.
Oh.
I don't know whether it's
being
the second oldest and then having younger siblings. Like,
yeah.
See,
John and Joe, that I'm the nice one.
Is that what you say?
Well, no. I mean, we all know that. I always say growing up with three brothers completely prepared me for kitchens because I was just like, you know, bossing around these boys all the time.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. What kind of kitchen will you have at Lady of the House?
Well, what's surprising, and it happened organically, is that it's all females in the kitchen right now. Which is, maybe it's not surprising, you know, that women are reaching out to, you know, work for a woman because, you know, there's a lot more learning that happened that I think, or access to education and learning from another female.
Or maybe guys don't want to work at a restaurant called Lady of the House.
I know. Well, no, we have a good amount of dudes up front, but yeah, it is.
No,
like,
I'm kidding. That would be kind of funny if that was keeping them away.
Yeah, right.
It really is a fantastic name. And when you think about what you're trying to do at the restaurant, that you want it to feel like your dining room and people are there for, you know, to have a dinner party with you. It's really the perfect name.
Yeah.
For that.
Thank
you. Can't believe no one thought of that before. What was the aha moment?
Oh my gosh. Well, so we were trying to go back and forth like, okay, well, what are we doing? We're like hosting, we're doing this. And it was 3 weeks of just, you know, running into a brick wall. And so I said, okay, let's just leave. Let's think about why we got into this industry and see if there's anything there. And so we got back together and I figured out, right, like, oh, I wanted to be like the ultimate hostess. Like, that's what I, you know, want to do is like, what are people coming there for? And why do people go out to eat? And it's because they want to feel special. Theirs had something to do with their mothers. And so then, which I think is really awesome and powerful. And then, you know, we went around that and one of their, Paul's daughter was there and just like stood up on this bench and was like, she's 8 years old, Lady of the House. And we were like, oh, all right, let's sleep on this. And that was it.
It's great.
Yeah. Thanks.
It's great. So how far along are you in the process?
We're far. Thankfully, I'm on menu testing now. So like past the licensing and most of the design decisions in the dining room, et cetera. So we're looking to open in mid-July.
That's very soon. That's
yeah.
So exciting.
Yeah.
Can you give us an example of some things that will be on the menu?
I'm really into raw. I'm into tartare. I mean, obviously we're getting in a lot of whole animals, so lamb and stuff. So using as much of that as possible. I actually just went down to Peoria, Illinois to do some Asian carp fishing. And so we're experimenting with that because that needs to get on menus. It's like a invasive species.
I just read about some invasive species. I forget what state, but they're paying people to catch them with bow and arrow.
Oh yeah, that's the Asian carp.
Is
yeah,
that,
it's
oh,
all
wow.
over. Like in Louisiana, they're huge because the water's warmer, so they can grow faster. And yeah, they're delicious. I mean, in like blind taste tests, it tastes like cod or walleye. It's just a very like delicate white flaky fish. And I won't get super political about it, but they have this extra layer in their gills that filters out, which is why they were brought in. They clean tanks, et cetera, but they reproduce and grow so fast and they jump out of the water. But they have these extra layers of bone. I'm like geeking out right now. They have these extra layers of bones, which makes them really hard to fillet. So you couldn't just serve a fillet of them. Anyway, so we're confying them and making some cool like potted fish dishes, which is really awesome. Yeah.
So are you out there with a bow and arrow?
No. So we did net fishing. So we caught about 3,000 pounds. They said this was not a lot. I thought it was a lot. And I like felt...
What'd you do with 3,000 pounds of fish?
Well, I didn't take all of it. I was with a commercial fisherman. So like he has use for all of these.
Like, are you feeding all of Detroit?
I think they're doing the Lord's work. They're getting it onto like the University of Illinois' cafeteria stuff. So... we're trying to keep it from the Great Lakes, right? Because it's ruining the rivers.
Okay, well, that's good work.
Yeah.
We are going to take a quick break, and then we will be back with Chef Kate Williams of Detroit's Lady of the House, and we'll hear more about the Detroit scene and some of the good works that she's up to. Be right back. Boys and girls are on fire. Le Cordon Bleu, the renowned culinary school, was founded in Paris 122 years ago by a young journalist named Mademoiselle de Stael. In 1895, she launched the first weekly culinary magazine called La Cuisinière Le Cordon Bleu. She invited subscribers to take part in free cooking lessons with the chefs featured in her magazine, and from there, the school was born. In the years since, Le Cordon Bleu's world-class instructors have taught French classical culinary techniques to everyone from home enthusiasts to food world legends. If you've ever dreamed of attending culinary school, maybe it's time to start living that dream. Check out one of Le Cordon Bleu's 35 locations around the world, or add a short vacation or a weekend program at one of its schools to your next vacation. Visit cordonbleu.edu for course descriptions, dates, online registration, and to discover which school is best for you. It's all possible at Le Cordon Bleu. Hey, everybody, welcome back. We're here with Chef Kate Williams, and she is going to tell us about this group she works with, Alternatives for Girls. Kate, you started a cooking program for the organization, right?
Yeah. So right when I moved back to Detroit, I really wanted to be involved. I thought, okay, if I want my restaurant here, I need the whole city to succeed, not just the business districts. So they have been around for about 20 years, probably 30 years now. And they started as sort of sex worker outreach, which people don't know is very like... I think Detroit is one of the highest cities in the country for it, which is so unfortunate and not talked about enough. So they started with that, and then from there built a homeless shelter for ages 14 to 21, only girls. And they have this transition to independent living, which teaches them, like, you know, how to speak on a job interview, you know, kind of like they gear it toward specific needs of each individual. But there's some things like check writing, check balancing, et cetera. And they didn't have a cooking program. I thought, that's kind of weird. I was mentoring a girl there at the time. And so it started as healthy meals at fast food prices, but it's really sort of just basic cooking, so that whatever, you know, is put in front of you, you can feed yourself and your children. And so we've been doing it 5 years, and now I think we're transitioning to hopefully job training. I mean, that was the thing, is like, they were all like, yeah, this is great. Like, I probably won't eat kale, but can you hire me? You know, they want a job. So that's what we're in the midst of doing now.
Do you know about Leanne Brown, who has that cookbook Good and Cheap?
I've heard of it. I don't have the cookbook.
She's fantastic. You should look that up.
Yeah, that sounds great.
I mean, it sounds like you're doing amazing work. I don't need to tell you.
No, I need all the help I can get.
Leanne's really wonderful. She's actually Canadian and was studying at NYU. And I think this was her, or the New School. And this was her thesis. And it was a cookbook on how to make things that were good and healthy when you're living on food stamps through the STEM program. And it's just a fantastic book, and it kind of took off a life of its own. You could download it for free online.
Oh, wow.
And then if you bought it, she was giving away extra copies. But it's not something we talk about enough in the food world.
You know,
there are people living on not a lot of money who need to eat something nutritious and not just, you know, crappy fast food, like you said. And what are we doing to help those people? So good for you. It's great that you're doing that.
Well, thanks. I mean, there's a lot of great folks involved, and... yeah, we do need all the help we can get. So I am going to look her up. That's important.
So in terms of hiring practices, you know, you mentioned the farm that you work with, and they hire recovering addicts and the formerly incarcerated, and you're going to try to get some kind of jobs program up and running with Alternatives for Girls. Mm-hmm. How are you staffing your restaurant and your kitchen?
Well, most of the folks have come to us. I mean, you know, in a kitchen, you have to want to be there. It's not necessarily easy hours or easy work. We have a few that I've, worked with before, George, Vonnie. You know, it's very like, one of the things I like about Detroit is it's kind of like we're all in this together type thing. So it's, you know, it feels like the South a little bit with hospitality and sort of loyalty in that way. So I have some folks who've just been with me for years that I know would walk through fire, you know, and vice versa.
Is there a big labor pool in Detroit?
There's not. That's why the other, that's why, you know, when someone's interested and wants to learn, you're like, great, you're hired. Let's do this.
Because it's hard. You have these cities spring up and the food scene springs up around them.
Yeah.
But then you quickly realize, you know, you don't have the labor pool to support it sometimes.
Yeah. And that goes back to the training for it. It's like, this seems like stupid. That it seems like a very like elementary connection that we should be making is like, we don't have the labor here, but people also want jobs. Like, why is, and so there's some other stuff that some organizations are doing for hospital workers as well with that.
So tell us about the Detroit scene. All we do is read about like how great things are in Detroit right now. And it really seems like it's a vibrant, exciting place to be working right now.
It is. Like I said, it's very community oriented, which is, I mean, I, as an owner, I've never worked in another city, so it's hard to exactly compare, but I know, you know, just from when I was doing the dinners in Williamsburg, people are like, really? That exists in Detroit? I think the farming is really interesting. You know, there's such a high density of urban farms, and especially in Corktown. So Lady of the House is in Corktown, which is the oldest neighborhood in Detroit. It's where the Irish settled. It's at the hottest strip of restaurants, arguably, in the city. And behind that is all of this farmland, and they're growing for the restaurants. I mean, we have restaurant land there that we're growing on ourselves. I mean, that's kind of bananas. For so long, when it was so cheap to work and to live in Detroit, even before I moved back, I think that really cultivated the creative, you know, whether it's art, music, food, because it's like, you, the stakes weren't that high. You could kind of be scrappy and do whatever. And that's still there, which I think is what you read about is like, why would you think to do that? It's like, well, we just playing around with it, you know? So it's really fun. That part is inspiring. And those collaborations, right? Like we have this really amazing female artist, Michelle Tangway, who's doing a mural on our ceiling and she's blown up. Like Netflix just had her do something. So that stuff is really cool. You know, those collaborations, there's like a chef farmer, meeting twice a year where the farmers throw it, all of them. I mean, it's not like competitive. They're just like, okay, who wants to grow this? Who needs this? Who needs this? What are you guys trying to serve this, you know, in the next 6 months? Which to me, that's like that. That makes it fun.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
And you're opening it at such a perfect time produce wise.
Yeah.
I mean, you've just got the start of all the really beautiful stuff that will last for months.
Yeah. Yeah. We're excited. We're excited to start doing that, preserving it for our winter months.
Mm-hmm. So if people are interested, how can they follow along, see what you're doing? You have an Instagram account.
We have an Instagram account, Lady of the House Detroit. And then our website is also ladyofthehousedetroit.com.
Did you set up your mailing list yet?
We have set up the mailing list,
so people can give you their email address for a newsletter or something.
Absolutely.
So stay tuned.
Yeah.
Great.
For updates.
So everybody needs to put Lady of the House on their list of places to visit, especially if you live in or around the Detroit area. You need to go support Chef Kate when she opens her place. Well, we're totally rooting for you.
Thank you.
Absolutely stay in touch, and we want to hear how everything goes.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for stopping by. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Kimberly Chow and Amanda Dell, the directors of the Food Book Fair. Stay tuned. Cheese lovers, take note. Kerrygold, the Irish brand known for its excellent butter, is a great source for amazing cheese. Kerrygold makes everything from a special reserve cheddar that's been aged over 2 years to Cashel Blue farmhouse cheese, which is semi-soft and creamy with a signature tang. Whether you are making a killer grilled cheese sandwich for yourself, baking some cheddar and scallion scones for breakfast, or putting together a beautiful platter of cheese, crackers, fruits, and nuts for your guests, try one of Kerrygold's luscious options. Welcome back to Radio Cherry Bomb, everybody. We haven't had multiple guests in a long time, so we're transitioning here in the studio. Chef Kate, I feel like we threw you out so fast. Have a great summer and good luck with the opening.
Thank you.
And we are here with Amanda, who needs a microphone, and Kimberly.
Hello.
It's tough now when we do these live shows. We were taping our shows for a while, and you forget, like, you know, live is live. How does Howard Stern do it? He always has, like, 8 million people in the studio.
I think he does also have, you know, 8 million people supporting him to make sure that...
the people come and go
seamlessly.
I don't really listen to Howard Stern, so I have absolutely no idea what Howard does. So is this like the second or third time we've had you both on to talk about the Food Book Fair? So obviously Amanda and Kimberly are here. You better love here being here because you guys have your own show coming up, which
we're going to be here all the time,
which we'll talk about soon. But more importantly, the Food Book Fair is taking place from May. What's the opening date?
11th.
May 11th. That's exactly 1 week from today.
Ouch.
Through Sunday, May. Sorry.
14th.
14th, yeah. Shit, I just like
Hopefully Kim will show up. We'll see what happens.
You have a wonderful lineup. For those of you who don't know what the Food Book Fair is, it's this fantastic multi-day event that takes place in New York City with some of your favorite writers, chefs, cookbook authors, you name it. And you've moved locations this year, which is good because I got handed a flyer that said the L train wasn't running for the next few weekends. So that would have like killed you guys. Because you used to do it in Williamsburg, right?
Yes. Yeah. We're super stoked to be in the big city. And hopefully the MTA will be on our side.
It will be.
With all the other things we have planned.
And you're at the Ace Hotel
At the Ace Hotel.
Yes.
We're big fans of the folks that run that joint and all the wonderful restaurants there with April Bloomfield and Ken Friedman, who we know are also friends of Cherry Bomb.
Mm-hmm. We love those two. So tell us some of the highlights. I know it's hard because you've got so many events and it's different from Jubilee. So for people who know what Jubilee is all about, you buy one ticket, you go to everything. Mm-hmm. This is different. It's sort of a la carte, kind of like the New Yorker festival,
it's
right?
Just like the New Yorker festival.
Wow, that's the nicest thing you've ever said about us, and you said so many nice things.
Once,
I'll think of some more nice things to say. But so it's a la carte, so you kind of pick what you want to go to and buy a ticket for that. So tell us some of the highlights.
Yeah, so this year we're really excited to expand on our food and drink program. So we're doing guest chef breakfasts, we're doing dinners, we'll have lunches, we'll have snacks, and always snacks everywhere. But we're really stoked, especially for a Saturday night dinner with Melanie Dunay and Melissa Clark, friends and collaborators. They are going to be doing a dinner called The Art of Dinner. To celebrate Melissa's new book, Melissa, another friend of Cherry Bomb, Melanie as well. And that will have a lot of secret, surprise, special guests and some publicly announced ones, including the great poet, poetry editor of The New Yorker and director of the Schomburg Center, Kevin Young, reading from The Hungry Ear, and our close friend, Nicholas Morgenstern of Morgenstern's Finest Ice Cream, doing a special ice cream treat.
I didn't know about that part.
Yeah, a sneak peek kitchen tour, interactive cocktail bar. We're doing a lot of different things among that one. So we try to build out special events, all that are sort of intersectional, interdimensional. Interdimensional is not the right word, but one day we'll get there as well, hopefully. Interdisciplinary.
We're going to bring Food Book Fair to the next dimension.
Yeah.
To space. That's in 2018.
But right now it's interdisciplinary.
It is May 4th. May the 4th be with you. We forgot to.
It's Star Wars Day.
It's Star Wars Day, yeah.
Kim knew that.
Are you not a giant Star Wars fan, Amanda?
No, I'm not.
I'm a Star Wars obsessive. I was a young kid when the first Star Wars came out, and my mom took me and my sister, and we stood online for an hour, and then I think I stood online 100 other times for an hour for that, and Empire Strikes Back. So this is it's a meaningful day for me.
Wow, enjoy.
I know,
May
right?
May the 4th be with you.
When I had that blue ice cream, I don't know if you heard earlier when I was talking about my trip to Boston, Jacqueline from the parlor brought me her blue ice cream. And my first thought was like, oh, that's like the liquid that Luke's aunt serves him in the beginning of Star Wars. And I was like, I've just outed myself as a giant Star Wars nerd. But Dave's making fun of me. But for those of you who are fellow nerds, you know, you'll remember the blue liquid scene very well. Okay, we digress. So Melissa and Melanie, everybody knows Melissa. She's been on the show. We've written about her a lot in the magazine. And Melanie is the brilliant photographer behind
My
Last Supper, right. So a little aside, we are actually, because Kimberly and Amanda are so gracious and generous, we are giving away two tickets to this dinner. And if you go to our Instagram page right now and leave the name of your favorite cookbook or your favorite book on food, we will pick a lucky winner, and you and a friend can go to that dinner and enjoy all that fun stuff that
we'll pick your name out of an interdimensional hat.
I'll leave that to Kim.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. So what else?
Yeah. We're very, very excited for the return of Foodieoticals. And obviously one of our favorite Foodieoticals is Cherry Bomb. And I don't. Are we allowed to talk about?
Are you gonna?
Are we gonna know what who are the cover
not
woman
yet.
Is?
Not yet.
Okay, but
we will have the brand new issue at Foodieoticles. For those of you who are like, what the hell is a Foodieoticle? We everyone asks that question every year. Who came up with the word?
Elizabeth Thacker Jones, who founded Food Go Fair in 2012, and is a past contributor to. The original issues of Cherry Bomb, I think.
Yep.
She came up with it.
So Foodieoticle.
It's food plus periodical.
So it's a whole sort of marketplace for all these fantastic magazines that write about food. And Cherry Bomb will be there along with who else?
Mouthfeel Magazine.
Yeah. Cured. We're really excited to have Cured.
That's from the folks behind Food Republic and 0.0 Productions. It's edited by Dar Goldstein, who is... a past Food Book Fair participant and just awesome. Yeah, and founding editor of Gastronomica.
About cured
fermented,
food,
and,
fermented
cured
and foods and how we can make them and who's making them and the science behind them. It takes a deep dive. And, you know, there's always that jar of sauerkraut hanging out in my refrigerator.
Ditto.
So I want to, you know, figure out an upgrade. So we're very excited to,
see them. So they're new. We also have Terre Magazine, which is about terroir, a word I have a hard time pronouncing.
I think everyone does. It's very hard. It's a hard one.
Tabletop, which is food comics. So that's a good one.
It's a great event. It's like a big marketplace and you can just come and shop. You can just meet the people. I mean, I've met wonderful people who did not come to the shop. They just came to talk, and a lot of people come to pitch stories to us. I remember Amy Chaplin, the wonderful
Amy will
chef.
Be there.
Yeah.
She just stopped by and started talking to us one day. And then, you know, a few months later, her cookbook comes out, and you're able to kind of put names to books and all of that. And it's really affordable. It's just
$5.
$5.
Yeah.
Come
so
on down.
Get a ticket. Come by. They do sell out, so don't wait to buy tickets. Yeah. They definitely sell out. If you want to buy tickets to any of the events, you can go to the Food Book Fair site. It's just foodbookfair.com. Very straightforward. And when you buy tickets, put in Cherry Bomb when you're checking out.
One word.
Yeah.
Yes. One word. All caps. For 20% off all the tickets.
Yeah.
So thank you again for that. That is super generous.
We love to see the Cherry Bomb friends and fam there.
The Bomb Squad needs to be there.
Bomb Squad. Yes, that's the word I was looking
exactly.
for.
Exactly.
Send Bomb Squad.
And Foodieoticals is over 2 days.
Yeah.
It's over 2 days this year. So it's Saturday as well as Sunday. It's going to be in Liberty Hall at Ace Hotel. And then in the lobby, we're also doing a couple special events and takeovers. So on Saturday, should we talk about this? It's full of dudes.
And then I want to talk about one more dude, but yeah.
Okay, so I'll talk about these dudes briefly.
Is this the most dude? Is this a dude fest on Cherry Bomb Radio right now? This is the most.
I'm waiting to hear what you two have to say. Maybe.
So on Saturday afternoon, we're going to be doing a table takeover in the lobby. We're going to excuse all of the freelancers that are usually there with the laptops and instead set up stations with illustrators from the amazing art department illustration division. Stephanie Pesikoff's roster of amazing illustrators will be illustrating live portraits to accompany a Proust questionnaire asked by Jason Stewart of Tall Tales and the Stew and our friend Chris Black of Done to Death Projects. And then Morgenstern's Finest Ice Cream, Nick Morgenstern himself and Paul Liebrandt will be making ice cream sundaes.
Fun. So wait, you're clearing out the lobby at the Ace Hotel?
A table. The center table.
A table.
Yeah. A table takeover.
I think the idea is we'll have things happening and then people will come to the lobby. But if they all run away from the ice cream sundaes, then we're probably doing something.
Yeah, and we'll also have our bookstore there brought to us by our, you know, our lovely partners, Kitchen Arts and Letters.
Absolutely.
Because
the scene at the Ace Hotel lobby is a real thing.
It's a real scene.
After the after party, it's the hotel lobby, I think.
But we'll
books.
Also have a little after party there for Foodieoticals Saturday evening with our friends at Put an Egg on It. And they'll be hosting a little drinks gathering shindig meet and greet because it's, as you said, Foodieoticals is always a great opportunity to meet other folks. And for people that are actually part of the event, it's nice to create an opportunity where y'all can get out from behind your table and talk to each other.
Right.
And then something similar on Sunday, and this will be in Liberty Hall, Stephen Satterfield.
Oh, darn, you took mine. Okay,
go ahead.
Go on.
Stephen Satterfield, another dude we really love and can't wait to meet after having an email relationship for a little bit. Not how it sounds.
but also we want to give him a special congratulations for his James Beard Award. So I definitely wanted to do that today. Yeah. And that's congratulations, chef. We're so excited to have you with us.
So the newly James Beard Award winning chef, Stephen Satterfield, will be hosting a peanuts party downstairs as part of Foodiotticals on Sunday. So there's something for everyone and different kinds of parties with different kinds of snacks.
You know, I'd mentioned that people do stop by Foodiotticals and pitch us story ideas. Mm. You've put together a really wonderful event that will allow people to come pitch all kinds of ideas. Do you want to talk about that for a minute?
Yeah. It's called Literary Speed Dating, or affectionately dubbed LSD among our crew. We've put together an amazing roster of editors and agents from top literary agencies and digital outlets. And we have asked them to come and sit while people pitch their ideas to them in a literary speed dating style, meaning you come, you see them for 10 minutes, you pitch your idea, and then you move on. If it's a match, you link up after. We don't get involved in that, but
we just put you together. But if you want to exchange numbers, that's up to you.
It can really be talking about anything. You don't have to have a fully formulated book proposal. You can, and that's great. Or you can, you know, speak to Sierra Tischgart from Grub Street, New York Magazine's online food blog. And you could say, you know, this is my idea for what I, you know, how I would cover this, and talk to her about something that's a little more digital. Or you can, you know, also Stephanie Pesikoff, as Kim mentioned, will be there, and you can talk to her about some illustration ideas or more visual ideas that you have. So we hopefully will have someone, you know, for everyone. And it's just an opportunity to get that FaceTime and get some feedback.
How much are tickets to that?
We are selling, we're selling it as part of something called Food Book Fair School. So there will be breakout sessions, networking time, breakfast, lunch, followed by literary speed dating for $125 for an all-day school session. Or you can just come to literary speed dating. But I think that's selling out pretty fast.
There might be a couple tickets left
for $35.
That's, you should, if you're out there and you are a writer and you feel like, I don't know anybody. We hear that a lot. People are like, I don't know anybody. How do I like even break through? You know, it's hard to send you could send an email these days, but everybody gets so much email.
Yeah.
So it's a really wonderful opportunity if you don't know a lot of people to go and meet people.
Yeah.
Our editors from Clarkson Potter will be there. Like you mentioned, Sierra. I mean, it's really terrific.
Yeah. You can see the full lineup on our site. But we have folks from Empire Literary, from ICM, Fiden, Clarkson Potter, Chronicle. And I think especially in this seemingly monolithic world of book publishing or even journalism and media, it's easy to forget. We're all just, you know, humans and answering those emails on the other end. And FaceTime is so important, but how do you get there? So we're trying to open that door a little bit.
Definitely. And thanks so much for bringing that up, Carrie. Like, if you see Kim or I and you come to Food Book Fair School or Literary Speed Dating and you want a quick introduction to someone, just let us know. Like, we are happy to do that. And we want to support anyone who, you know, is interested in moving forward in the food media world or beyond. And if there's something we can do, we're happy to do it.
Even if it's not food media.
Yeah, if it's...
If you want to meet someone, we might know that person. You know, our emails are just our name at foodbookfair.com.
You are brave to put that out there. The week before Jubilee, I was like, if I get one more email, I will die.
Right.
I'm going to turn into dust.
I'm forwarding all my emails
and
to
blow
Kim.
Away.
I answer them, and then I CC Amanda, and then she gets angry at me.
Well, since a lot of our guests do not live in New York City and sadly can't go to the Food Book Fair, let's talk about some of the really hot cookbooks right now.
Yeah.
Because it is a wonderful season for cookbooks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amanda, I'm going to let you take that question first.
It's cool.
So you just pointed at me.
Okay, I'm allowed to do that.
Pick one that you love right now.
Loving Julia Sherman Salad for President book. It's Well, the recipes are great. I really enjoy. I haven't cooked one yet. I just got the book. But the photos really make you feel like you're there in a weird way. Like, I was leafing through and doing a good look at it the other day. And I was like, oh, you could kind of, like, see yourself sitting at some of these tables, especially some of the outdoor photos. I was like, oh, that looks so nice. Like, kind of really made you think. Mm. It was like, aspirational, but not too far away from your reality. So I loved that. And then I will just interject a quick short one. I am reading Reggie Nadelson's At Balthazar right now, and it is a book that's narrative, but also has recipes intertwined in it. And so that, I think, is really fun.
Thank you.
Highly recommend.
Yeah, we had a nice chat with Jen Louisia of Tech Bytes earlier about her Balthazar memories. So I think everybody has one or two. But that's a good setup for me to talk to about another book that is narrative. It's a memoir, in fact, but has recipes, which is Jessica B. Harris, My Soul Looks Back, which is awesome, which I just gave to Amanda. And now she texts me every morning. It's like, I just read this part. I just read that part.
She spoke at Jubilee and just was tremendous.
So
oh, my gosh. We'll be broadcasting that later this summer.
We can't wait to hear
it. It was such an inspirational talk.
Yeah.
Jessica B. Harris is one of the leading authorities on African American foodways,
mm-hmm.
and has written this memoir. It's not necessarily about food, though, right?
It's not necessarily about food, but it's about her friendships and a romance with one person in particular during the 70s and 80s as she came of age as a person and as a writer and an editor and someone in the world and as someone living in the West Village who spent time with James Baldwin and Maya Angelou, and food and drink were such a big part of their lives, and commensality and being part of the dinner table and ideas that came up over cocktails. And the book so well captures that. And she includes playlists as well of what they were listening to or what makes her think of the people that are in the book and of that time. And we're actually going to be doing an event in collaboration with Yadan Israel of Literary Swag Book Club, where Jessica just announced will be our very honored guest, and we'll be giving away copies of that book as part of that event.
Very cool.
Yeah. And it's also, I just started it, but I think in its own way, it's a love letter to New York, which as a native New Yorker, I can't get enough of. And in the first part, when she's really describing the West Village and describing where she is living and also working at Queens College. And it's like, it is one of those books that you can just picture those streets, even though you've never seen them in the way she describes it. And I just think it's so fun and made me think, was I born in the wrong time?
No.
It also has
the time you're meant to be born.
It has also one of the best recent book covers I've seen in a while.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Like, her outfit is sick.
I'll throw in my pick for a great book right now, and she's definitely involved in the food book fair, is Samin's Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat.
Yes.
I mean, I just think anybody who likes to cook needs to have that cookbook. I mean, maybe if you're like a super advanced chef, obviously you don't need that. But Samin's described it as cooking school in a book, and it really is. And the premise behind it is that every great dish includes those four elements,
mm-hmm.
salt, fat, acid, heat. And if you want to make something great, you need to have all four of those things in your brain when you're cooking. And the great part about the book is there are no photos at all. There are wonderful illustrations by Wendy McNaughton.
Mm-hmm.
And Samin is also a beautiful writer. I mean, you've got this like big fat cookbook, but it's really something you can just sort of, you know, it's not a memoir exactly, but Samin's worked on this for like 19 years, I think.
Wow.
Maybe I'm making that up. But she's worked on it for a really long time. I mean, she started working at Chez Panisse, I think, when she was 19, and has been working on it ever since. And she was in the kitchen. She wasn't a trained chef the way some of the others were. And she really marveled at how they could cook any cuisine, Italian, French, Moroccan, you name it. And she started to put together that it was these four things that every cuisine has in common.
Mm-hmm.
So I really love the three books that we mentioned: Jessica Harris's memoir, mm-hmm. Salad for President, and Samin's Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat. If you just get those three cookbooks this spring, or even one of them, cookbooks and memoir, you can't go wrong.
Yeah,
those are three beautiful additions to anybody's library.
Then invite us over for a taste test. We're always open for that.
Yeah. You can cook from the two cookbooks and read from Jessica's memoir, and I think that would be like an amazing dinner party.
That would be a great dinner party.
Yeah.
Don't forget to invite us, please. Seriously.
We have one more event to plug at the Food Book Fair because I'm involved and I kind of forgot about it.
Yes.
And it's a good one.
It's a great one.
I was thrilled when you asked. Yeah. You were like, oh, it's with Chef April Bloomfield and Liz Pruitt from Tartine and Manufactory. And I was like, oh, you don't even have to say anything else. I'll sign up. I don't know that much about it yet. I know we're talking about it after this. So tell everybody what the event is.
We're doing a breakfast on Saturday, May 13th, to celebrate the release of Tartine All Day. And we had been talking about this for a while, about doing a breakfast with Liz, and she was super down. And she said, but what if I could cook it with April?
Yeah.
So now it's going to be, a collaboration between the two of them.
Yeah, and it's at the John Dory, which is one of my favorite spots because it, you know, even if we don't get the beautiful 75-day sunny, you know,
you might.
No,
don't
not
worry
a cloud
about
it. In the sky. It's still one of my most favorite places to come during the day.
So we're going to have breakfast based on Liz's new cookbook, Tartine Every Day. And then I guess I'm interviewing them about their friendship and life and the cookbook and all of that, right?
Yes.
It's going to be great.
You're going to get the scoop. And you got a copy of the book.
Yeah.
And it's really good people watching on that corner.
And it's a little early. It's for me. It's 9 a.m. But because I love these two women here in the studio and I love April and Liz, I will get up early and I will be there.
We're there to get the good Instagram light.
Yes.
Okay. I'm there to get the good breakfast and the conversation. But good Instagram light is an important thing.
We'll give
these
a courtesy
too,
extra couple minutes for people to arrive. It's a soft 9.
Soft
you know,
nine.
A soft
it's
Saturday
a soft,
morning.
Oh, good. But
nine.
I guess I do have to be there before 9 o'clock. So it's not a soft 9 for me. It's a hard 9 for me.
We'll see you there.
Exactly. All right. So I feel like we have to run through everything we discussed. So Food Book Fair takes place next weekend in New York from the 11th to the 14th.
Yes,
right?
It does.
So long weekend. At the Ace Hotel, you can get tickets at foodbookfair.com. When you're buying your ticket, make sure to put in Cherry Bomb all caps for 20% off the ticket price. And we are giving away two tickets to the dinner with writer Melissa Clark and photographer Melanie Dunay. It will take place on Saturday the 13th at 7 o'clock. Two tickets. Just go on our Instagram and tell us your favorite cookbook or your favorite book about food, and we will pick a lucky winner, and you can come to the dinner.
Yes, exactly. And then we'll also be able to build our recommended reading list from there.
Yes. I'm excited to see what people pick. I feel like whenever we do something like that, I learn about books I maybe didn't necessarily know about.
Yeah, very excited to see everyone's picks.
And I guess last question, how are you two doing? Because it's tough to run a conference.
We're hanging in. We're doing great. We are so overwhelmed by the support from all of our friends and collaborators and all of those that have vowed to be a part of it. So we're really excited. And big thank you to Cherry Bomb team for always supporting us and along for the ride.
We're giant fans. I mean, I'm such a big believer in printed matter. I think books are so important. Magazines are still important. And food is important. And you guys combine all three of those things. So it's a great thing that you do.
Thanks. Thank you so much. It's
hang
so
in
nice
there.
To hear
yeah.
that.
Hang in there. Seven, the countdown begins. So everybody, that is it for today's show. Thank you to Kimberly and Amanda. Thank you to Chef Kate Williams for stopping by on her trip here. Don't forget to check out her new place if you're in and around Detroit. It's called Lady of the House. Radio Cherry Bomb was engineered by the one and only Dave Tatasciore. Thank you to our sponsors for making this season of Radio Cherry Bomb possible. Kerrygold. Kerrygold is made in Ireland with milk from grass-fed cows. It's a taste that says 1,000 words, including, it's the bomb. And don't forget to visit cordonbleu.edu to learn about the variety of culinary classes offered at the legendary Le Cordon Bleu's many locations around the world. If you do happen to go to the Food Book Fair's Foodiaticals event, please come up and say hi and introduce yourself. I love to know when people actually listen to the show. Same for the event with April and Liz. If you come by, absolutely come say hi to me. I would love to chat and just say thank you in person. So that's it, everybody. Thank you for listening. You're the bomb.
Hi, my name is Liz Klayman. I'm a culinary photographer based in New York City. Radio Cherry Bomb is a joint production of Cherry Bomb Magazine and the Heritage Radio Network. To subscribe or to learn more about the magazine, visit cherrybomb.com. You know who I think is the bomb? Samin Nosrat, that's who. You'll probably know all about her by now, but she's a chef, she's a writer, a teacher, and she has a new book that just came out, Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat. I respect Samin so much because there's no clear path to what she's doing. She's basically a culinary renaissance woman, but she's shaping her own way and she is just killing it. And she is so nice.